Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ixigo Events Media Solutions Limited H1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to point out that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the belief, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I would now like to hand over the floor to Kaushal from Confidelity Partners. Thank you, and over to you, Kaushal.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and a very warm welcome to everyone. Thank you for being on the call of Ixigo Events Media Solutions Limited. We are happy to have the management with us here today for Q&A session with the investor community. The management is represented by Mr. Mohammed Sayed, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Minocha, Co-Promoter, and Mr. Sushil Shah, CFO. Before we start with the question and answer session, we will have opening comments from the management. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Mohammed Sayed for his opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kaushal, and thank you, everyone. A very warm welcome to all of you on this conference call of Ixigo Events Media Solutions Limited. I'm truly excited to discuss our outstanding performance in the first half of fiscal year 2025. Before we dive into the specifics of our H1 25 results, I would like to begin by providing a brief overview of our business during this period. As all know, focused execution has been central to the success of Ixigo this year. During H1 of FY25, the company experienced significant business growth and market traction, hosting several key events such as Namo Mega Job Fair, Pune Pharma and Lab Expo, Baddi Pharma and Lab Expo, the Heart of Art Expo, the Urdu Heritage Festival by Government of NCT Delhi. The company also secured the prestigious Nuclear Power Corporation of India tender to manage 120 events from June 2024 to April 2025. Moreover, all 120 events were executed by Ixigo in a span of less than 5 months across 10 states. The exhibition industry, as all know, is critical not just to a company, but also to the broader economy. India's prominence in the global exhibition market underpins our strategic vision. India is contributing significantly to the global exhibition market, and this reflects the immense opportunities available for players like us to capitalize on. The Indian exhibition market holds substantial growth potential, presenting us with opportunities to drive sustained growth, especially in a niche 360-degree services approach that Ixigo adopts. The H1 FY24-25 has been transformative with three strategic acquisitions. Number one, Green Branch Contracting and Landscaping LLC, UAE. The company specializes in multi-purpose event venues construction, maintenance, and environmental engineering, and it's very famous in the UAE. The second, Perfect Octave Limited, which is expanding into not only the musical festivals, but also being into corporate filmmaking. It is into corporate entertainment and new venues, revenue streams through media licensing, and has over 1,200 music tracks as their internal IPs. United Early Charters Private Limited, which is a diversifying business of us into the corporate travel, religious tourism, enhancing the entire MICE segment, offering with seamless transport for remote locations as well as the MRO facility and the hangar spaces for various other activities, especially pertaining to the events. These acquisitions are part of our broader strategy to create an ecosystem around the MICE space, deepening our competitive positions. The Indian government's identification of exhibition sector as a key contributor to the Make in India initiative offers further validation of our strategic direction. The government incentives and policy support is now providing an environment for businesses in our sector to grow, and we are all well positioned to leverage these opportunities. Additionally, the company also signed a joint venture to open its first owned venue, which is largest of the Pune, called MESSE Global Convention Center. Since the phase one is nearing completion, the company is also planning to open two more venues in Mumbai and Ayodhya. The company also plans to open not just the venues, but also manage them as a venue as service. With Ayodhya already having a 5-acre land parcel as acquired by the company, these venues will follow the same JV model, ensuring better capital efficiency and maintaining a higher, lighter balance sheet. Venues are key to success of an exhibition or an event. With the immediate target to wrap up the operations at Pune Convention Center, we are also exploring further expansion through an asset-light model in the form of joint venture. Each venue is projected to generate 40-plus crores in revenue with a PAT margin ranging between 15% to 18%. Talking about our financial performance, on a standalone basis, we achieved 30.26 crore rupees in revenue in the H1, reflecting a 26% year-on-year growth. Our EBITDA grew by 32% to 7.36 crores, with a margin of 24.33%. Similarly, our PAT increased by 28%, reaching 5.5 crore with a PAT margin of 16.72%. On a consolidated basis, we recorded our good growth. It was 60.531 crores in revenue, marking a 38% year-on-year growth. Our EBITDA reached rupees 15.46 crore with an EBITDA margin of 23.67%, reflecting a 41% increase. The profit after tax is to that rupees 10.60 crore, a growth of 38%, with a PAT margin of 16.24%. But currently, company has its presence in three countries and is simultaneously targeting expansion into five more countries over the next 3 years. We are also proud to be one of the very few 360-degree service providers in the exhibitor and organizing states together, offering support across the entire MICE value chain. The Indian market's projected growth and the global relevance to exhibition industry strongly aligned with our long-term growth aspirations. In conclusion, the growth of the Indian exhibition sector is fueled by increasing government support and robust domestic and international market opportunities, offering a promising horizon with a clear vision and a strategic approach. We are confident in our ability to navigate and capitalize on this momentum. Before we begin the question and answer session, I would once again extend my heartfelt appreciation to all our stakeholders for their essential role in our growth journey. Your support and engagement have been pivotal in our success, and we sincerely value your continued partnership and commitment. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you once again for your presence and continued support. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Vishal Ratu, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. I have actually two questions for you. One is, how are we looking to expand our business in the global environment? Basically, what are the strategies that we will be deploying to get into this region? Would it be organic growth? Would it be inorganic growth? If you can share some light on this.
Okay, you need to ask that what is our strategy to grow? Is it organic and inorganic or both? Is that the question?
Yeah. How we are looking to expand into global regions. If you can give some color on it.
Can moderator rephrase the question or at least because I got this a bit disturbing. I think the sound was a little bit not very clear. So, can you audible? Yes, very much.
Yeah, so basically what I'm asking is, how are we looking to venture into the global region? Like, what would be our strategies? Would it be organic? Would it be inorganic? If you can, you know, give some light, some color on this, on our strategy, basically.
Okay, interesting. So, very good question. As far as our global growth is concerned, we are looking at both organic and inorganic growth. While we are looking at inorganic growth in the most promising geographies of the world where the exhibitions and events play a vital role, our inorganic growth continued in not only UAE region but also expanding to Hong Kong and a couple of other countries. So Dubai being the hub of exhibitions now, especially, you know, a lot of companies from India are participating in UAE exhibition, and from UAE to KSA, we are focusing more on that region as far as our global presence is concerned, and from there we are moving on to the rest of the world. So inorganic and organic both, I would say. Inorganic by way of acquisition of the smaller companies without, you know, hurting our financial situation or the balance sheet, and organic by way of reaching more and more places and more geography with our very valued and 360-degree services.
And second question is, there are several exhibition players. So how our service has been differentiated from them, if you can give a color on that?
Well, you're right. There are several players, but still, this industry is very, you know, barricaded industry as far as the service providers are concerned. Exhibicons portfolio includes not only the 360-degree services to exhibition organizers, wherein you will find very, you know, few number of companies, and in India you'll probably not find any, but also the exhibitor services, which is the participant of an exhibition organizer. So by way of acquisition of DareSpark Communication, we are now reaching out to more and more exhibitors, wherein these exhibitors are having their own set of requirements, which sometimes, you know, is more than the requirement of the exhibition organizer. So our overall presence in India and growing in the other countries is different from others for the simple reason that our approach is a 360-degree solution. As you can see in our previous inorganic growth and the acquisitions that we've done and the kind of services that Exhibicon provides, you'll find that our services are unique, non-competitive, and it's a sort of an end-to-end from a beginning of an exhibition to end of an exhibition and anything in between. So that's the key of our, success, and that's the key of our less competition with the existing players in the exhibition industry and event industry.
Okay, great, sir, great. Thank you once again for the opportunity and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Anshul Mittal from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of results. Sir, can you please explain me about United Heli as a business which we have, on what is actually going on in that business and what are the growth prospects of the same?
Well, United Heli Charters is basically a charter services. As you know, Exhibicon has announced to get into the religious tourism before the acquisition of United Heli Charters. And we started that exploring in Uttar Pradesh, Ayodhya, as a religious tourism destination. From there, we found that it's difficult to organically grow in this domain. And hence, we got the acquisition of this company, which is called United Heli Charters Private Limited. though the company is not only into the operations of aircraft or the helicopters for the MICE and corporate and religious tourism, but also into MRO services as well as the hangar services. But our objective was to ensure that the kind of, you know, ecosystem that we're creating for the entire MICE segment is being met with this kind of acquisition. So that was the primary reason of acquisition. Also, UHPL has a large space at Juhu, which is a Mumbai-based Juhu airport. It has got more than 120,000 square feet of land along with the hangar. So there are various chances of organizing many aviation events at that particular location, because space is always a constraint to organize aviation events, especially in a secured area like an airport. So that also makes sense for us to get into. So it's strategically aligned with our vision. Just that MRO services might not be 100% you know, in our portfolio. But the rest of it is definitely adding value to Exicon's portfolio.
Okay, understood. So, sir, what sort of revenue potential do we see from this segment in upcoming 2 to 3 years?
So, as you can see, we have given an overall, you know, projection of 40 to 50% of CAGR on a consolidation basis. Though, so this also includes the, you know, top line and bottom line in the projection from UHPL, which is called United Hill Charts.
Correct, yes, sir. So, sir, okay, understood. And, sir, again, with respect to MICE Solutions acquisition, NICE.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, sir, can you explain that over there that our specialization is into corporate videos, digital media content, and other marketing solutions. So, are we planning to merge that business with DigiGlobe?
It will be too early to say this, because this acquisition is not very old. We are still under the certain terms and conditions with NICE. NICE means Nucleus Integrated Communications and Events. So it's a complete communication solution for the exhibitors and organizers to market themselves in the marketplace of their requirements. So currently the acquisition is an integration of event production, exhibitions, audiovisual and digital marketing, which reduces the, you know, supplier reliance and optimizing cost. Because we leverage the shared resources, the company can also offer bundled services such as the entire, you know, video and audio and marketing and digital integration into one bundled services. And that's why NICE is important to us.
Correct, understood. Okay, sir. So, sir, with respect to this industry, event management industry as a whole, sir, what sort of growth are you witnessing, considering? And, sir, are we also planning to, you know, foray towards this event management, towards this recent upcoming tours which we are seeing of international or domestic, you know, stars who are coming and onboarding, you know, presenting on a platform like a concert, be it a concert?
Event management could be actually broken into various categories. An event could be an exhibition, it could be a conference, a convention, RBSM, which is reverse buyer-seller meet, or an exhibition organizing or management, or a complete end-to-end for the concert and live events. Our expertise lies in the end-to-end event management services along with the in-house infrastructure for execution of these kind of events. Primarily, when you see an event management agency, they have a agency background or a management skill set, where an Exicon with in-house material, logistics, in-house, you know, equipment, has a lot of other leverages. If you look at our revenue breakdown by service category, you'll find that our end-to-end management services is about 35% of the total revenue, while the event infrastructure and ground execution services has 55% of the total revenue. This means that irrespective of we getting to manage the events or as an agency, we will always be able to execute the event on our own background, or of our own material and manpower and the logistics. So this is important. No company in the country has got its in-house infrastructure to execute events and exhibitions on ground other than Exicon.
Correct. So, sir, basically, we act as an integrated service provider covering each and every aspect of towards event management.
Perfect. Including the in-house capacity to execute the large graph exhibitions and events with our own material and manpower.
Understood, sir. Understood. Fair enough, sir. That's it from our end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sahil Raj from Sam Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Can you please speak a bit louder?
Hello, am I audible?
Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, my question was regarding that Messe Global Convention Center that is said to be operational by March 25. So there is mentioned that it will provide around 40 to 50 crore revenue. So that will be from the next financial year, right? If I'm reading it right.
Yes, next financial year.
Yes, it's from the next financial year, of course.
What kind of footfall are we seeing in that global convention center?
So, football depends upon the kind of event that an exhibition organizer or an event organizer will organize. I can talk about the capacity. So, the capacity of Messe Global is 35,000 packs indoors and outdoors put together. It has the largest space when it comes to the open area as well as the covered area. We have a very large convention center with a capacity of 5,500 people inside the hall. We also are creating for the first time in Maharashtra a plug-and-play arena, which means that an organizer can always come to the venue and organize their respective live event, concert, or a conference, or a seminar within 2 hours after, you know, taking over the position of the venue. Earlier, this was actually, in any other venue, minimum 24 to 48 hours timeline. Because you need to come to a venue, you need to set up your stage, sound, light, video, do the registration counter, the F&B and everything. So one day used to go for the setup, one day for the event and one day for almost half day for the dismantling. This means 2.5 day event for one particular client. Now with the integrated systems and the equipment that we are installing in the plug and play arena, in a day we can do 2 events with a maximum capacity of 1100 packs. This means we have a 1100 people capacity wherein in a day at least 2 events could be organized instead of 1 in 3 days. And you also have the convention facility which is sufficing the purpose of having 5500 packs inside the hall. If you talk about the entire facility, it's spread out to 9 acres of the total area with the biggest open lawns of 80,000 square feet, with a parking space for 3,000 cars spread out to 2 acres and 5,000 two-wheelers parking facility. And with the plug-and-play arena of 1,100 seating capacity and a convention area of 5,500 seating capacity. So overall, 35,000 guests can be accommodated at one go in one event, and this makes us the largest event venue of today.
Okay, all right, thank you for that. We are operating in the event space. So, are we going to be
a little louder, if you don't mind?
Sahil?
Hello?
Your voice is not clear, sir.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
It's better now?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
I wanted to ask that since we are in the MICE industry, so is there any kind of seasonality that we are facing or and how do we differentiate from that?
You mean to say how do we differentiate from the other operators of the MICE industry, other players of the MICE industry? Is that the question? I gave the answer in my previous conversation. that Exicon is the company with a 360-degree solution approach, with a maximizing in-house capacity and capabilities instead of depending on the vendors. So when you say maximizing our in-house capacity, that is through the acquisitions that we are doing, and of course the existing experience of Exicon of last overall 27 years of our existence in the industry. So we don't see any competition as far as the overall execution or a 360-degree approach of managing an entire event or exhibition is concerned. We think that we are pretty much well placed, and we are capable of moving forward with the same space and same growth model.
Okay, and this NPCI tender that was supposed to manage around 120 events from June 25 mm-hmm. to April 25, do we see some similar kind of tender in the next coming years, or maybe a one-off or things like that?
No, so as far as our capacity is concerned, it's well known to the organizers, irrespective of they being from the government sector or private sector or foreign organizers, that our capabilities are unmatched. We have done events like GFI Award, which was a world record last year, Guinness Book of World Record. We have done events like G20. We have done events like Namo Job Fair. So when it comes to the large graph events or the number of many events in very short span of time, Exicon is famous to be number one organizer or executor for these kind of events. So we see that there is a good growth of multiple events by the organizers from the government sector as well as private sector, and we see more such tenders coming in. In fact, NPCIL itself is very happy with the execution because they had, given us a time frame to execute these 120 events till June, but we did that in November itself. So we are almost completing the entire 120 number of events in this November itself. This means we have, done the 120 events which were supposed to be done till March, 4 months prior to the timelines.
So do we get any kind of bonus for advanced completion of those events? Or is it
sorry?
Regular contract? Do we get any kind of bonus for those advanced completion of those events?
Well, service industry, it's no bonus per se, but definitely it increases our capabilities, capacity, and we always look forward to execute many such events in future. So we'll keep on, exploring much more number of events in future. We would like to increase our efficiency, like to increase, the number of events that we execute in the time frame. So don't see such kind of appreciation from any department, but we definitely want to increase our, capacity.
And one thing on that, Maple Heights and Green Branch.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Can
yes.
you join back the queue, please?
All right, I'll join back.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Deepesh Shanshetty from Mania Finance. Please go ahead. I repeat, question comes from Deepesh Shanshetty. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand what will be the growth drivers going ahead in the next year.
So Venue will be one of the biggest growth drivers for us because this will get completed in this March. And since the Venue was already from established at one place, it has just shifted 500 meters from the existing space to another. So we already have captive clients with us. Especially when it comes to the large events, because Pune, we are the largest and there's a marketplace which, caters to 1,000 plus packs of event, and which are very, niche and limited in numbers with no venue availability in the city like Pune. So Pune as a venue will definitely add great value to our numbers next year. We will also be able to add at least two more venues in the following 2 years, Ayodhya, we have already acquired the land of 5 acres and we'll start building next year, next financial year. And we are also, you know, in talks with a couple of other venues as a operator, which is a low OPEX model, low CAPEX model. And I think venue will be a big driver for us in next 2 to 3 years time.
So how much growth do you expect from the venue business? And how much will our existing business grow? If you give a guidance, I mean, how much of the venue business will actually, I mean, contribute, and how much of our existing business of the exhibitions and events and exhibitor services, how much will that grow in percentage wise? I mean, if you can give a guidance for FY26.
Yeah, sure. So they go hand in hand, along with the venue, the services also, the service revenue also comes. We have given a guidance of 50% growth for this year and next year, of which we have already done half year, which is better than our projection. And so on a standalone basis, also 50% growth, and on a console basis, due to the various acquisitions which will be contributing in second half and next year full year. So for example, if you look at the consolidated numbers of H1, 80% have still come from Exicon, COCO and Digiglo, which have been there for the last 3 years. And only 11% has come from Maplehite. And rest of the others, because they've just been, United Heli Charters is small at this point of time. Green Bench was consolidated only for 1 or 2 months in this half, so it has contributed less. So this 20% contribution of other subsidiaries will go up, which will drive the overall growth. And the subsidiaries are also growing. And Perfect Octave also will be consolidated for at least half of the period, this second half, and entire full year in FY26. So while I can talk about only these 2 years, FY25 and 26, that we have given the guidance for, we'll be comfortably meeting our guidance, both from growth in venue services as well as acquisitions.
So we can expect about 50% growth, right?
Yeah, 50% growth for FY25 and FY26. Year-on-year growth.
Okay. Year-on-year growth. Okay. And which event have we done abroad? And if I can add in this question, due to Maharashtra elections, did we do any events? And I mean, how much was the contribution this quarter?
So election event we normally don't venture into, primarily because these are more towards the, you know, tenting or the, you know, sort of a basic tent and decor solution, which we are not precisely catering to. However, as far as the international exhibitions and events are concerned, we are already working on at least 3 events in UAE, 2 in KSA, which is Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia and UAE are now, you know, more on our radar because of the growing exhibition business in both the regions, especially the large events and large exhibitions. We are also having enough orders in hand for the next H2. I cannot just speak about which companies, how much, because that's something I cannot reveal. But we are good to go both internationally and internationally both.
Right now, we haven't done anything international, right?
No, we keep on doing international exhibitions, but not very large. You know, ever since we entered the UAE market, we have been serving the exhibitors more often, and with the acquisition of Maplehite, you know, business center, we have been serving the organizers for their business facilitation needs, not in the venue such as the World Trade Center or ADNEC or Sharjah Expo Center, but more at our own business center to facilitate the basic requirement of the exhibition organizers as well as exhibitors through this business center in UAE, which is right next to the World Trade Center on the Sheikh Zayed Road itself.
Okay. So we are in touch. I mean, have we been in touch with all the councils, all the industry councils Because generally they are the ones who have these kind of large exhibitions. So, for instance, in Bombay, in MESCO, we have the Gem & Jewellery Exhibition Council, which has a huge footfall. Similar to that, do we have any tie-ups with these councils, existing tie-ups?
Well, we are not only having the tie-up, but these councils are also our clients. But we are always, selective when it comes to the providing the services to different councils on different formats and terms of contract and agreement and payment terms. There are various things to consider. The MICE, RBSM and BSM, which is reverse buyer seller meet and buyer seller meet, where you can see the revenue growth in our current quarter, that is primarily driven by the EPCs, Export Promotion Councils. And there we are already working with most of the large councils, including FICCI, CII, PhD Chamber of Commerce and Industry. We recently held the Brazilian delegation in India. Our delegation went to Brazil recently. That was also facilitated by Exicon. So EPCs are primarily facilitating the international businesses or international delegation from India to different countries. And Exicon is doing their entire plans, from their travel to their ground logistics to their B2B meetings. But when it comes to the exhibition organizers, the organizers are not just the EPCs, but there are private sector organizers, there are government organizers, there are, of course, foreign organizers who are operating in India, from Germany to UK to USA. So these are Exicon's clients already, and we're working with them closely. And, of course, EPCs also we're working, but more on the MICE side, not on the organizing side.
Okay. If I can ask the last question. In your slide number, I'm not aware of what is slide number, but in your venue management as a service, that slide, you have mentioned that in your expansion strategy, there are three locations which you identified. Pune, you have already built, which will come in December 25. Sorry, March 25. Ayodhya also you acquired the land. Where in Mumbai do you have this thing? And if I can add in this, the second question with mine is that how are we asset light if we are doing so much of acquisitions of land and investing so much into this setting up these venues?
Well, we are not spending more on land acquisition. Ayodhya was one of them because Ayodhya, the cost of the land was not that higher like in Pune or Mumbai, so we can still afford it, and it's basically asset to the company. Other venues are more towards the operating model or the JV model, wherein the land belongs to the other party, and we do the rest of it by way of creating the, semi-permanent, permanent, or the hangar structures, and the entire venue is operated by us. So it's a operation fee plus the capex model, and which brings a win-win for both the parties. We cannot afford to buy large land parcels in Mumbai or Pune, so we go with the JV model. But we can afford to buy a land parcel in Ayodhya, hence we go with acquisition of land.
So where in Mumbai is our venue?
Just to add to this, we have given 2 years projections, and internally also we have done projections for next 5 years. At any point of time, we don't see our fixed assets to be contributing more than 20% of the 20 or 25% of the balance sheet size. So yes, we'll be adding a lot of fixed assets, land, whatever, venues, but then as a proportion of the balance sheet size, it will still be light, is what is meant by asset light model. So in a conventional venue, it's a very capital intensive business, and hence it's a great entry barrier. But we have devised ways of keeping capital cost much lower than, and we are just being comparative because we have to compare venue with a venue, not with any other business which is extremely asset light. So we'll be relatively asset light at any point of time, and fixed asset as a percentage of our balance sheet size would not be more than 20, at the most 25% of the balance sheet size.
Okay. Thanks. That's quite informative. But where is it in Mumbai, the venue? And secondly, the 9-acre facility, then the land is ours, right?
No, the Pune land of 9-acre facility is not ours. It is a JV model. The land belongs to a private party, and the capex and operations belongs to Execon.
Okay. And where in Mumbai are we having this similar arrangement?
Yes, a similar arrangement. It will be too early to, you know, give you more details. I think that will come on the stock exchange first. But we are in talks with a few interesting partnership models, and you'll soon hear it out on the announcement on the BSE.
Great, great. And so if I have to compare this company to any other listed players, will Nesco be the right comparison in terms of your venue management business?
Venue management, yes, Nesco is the right comparison as far as the venue is concerned. Because Nesco is just a venue provided to exhibition organizers. The organizer then comes with his own sets of requirement, which is again Execon's expertise. So, for example, if an organizer is booking a venue, he'll go to Nesco. But after he goes to Nesco, he will need the entire setup to be managed by a company like Execon. So we'll again come into the picture.
Okay. And this Mumbai land which you are planning, will be as big as Nesco?
No, not at all. No, let me tell you, we are not looking at such large convention space or exhibition space for at least next 5 years, unless the government supports us with the, you know, operating and management contract on some existing venues of theirs where there is already some kind of opportunity. Because there are no, you know, players in the venue operation segment in India other than a couple of them. So Nesco could be one, IEML could be another, Execon could be third. However, there are state government plans for, you know, creating many venues in different cities of Tier 2 and Tier 3, because the government understands now the importance of creation of a venue for exhibitions and trade fairs, which brings a lot of revenue streams and other, you know, opportunities of economic growth to the state. Many state governments are getting into doing their own exhibition centers. There comes another opportunity for Execon as an operator, you know, because there are very few players in this industry, as I mentioned earlier. Rather, I can name them, you know, just as three. So we see a lot of other opportunities as well. As far as our own venues are concerned, we'll go with the asset-light model, the joint venture model, wherein the land belongs to somebody else. Execon comes as a, you know, a partner to build it and operate it. The second model would be the operator model only, wherein the venue belongs to XYZ and Execon is appointed as an operator to run the show. Third model would be, of course, managing the government event venues across states of India, which are coming up pretty fast. The state governments are now understanding the importance of creation of exhibition centers. Hence, they are already identifying the land. The departments are working on various models, how to do it. In fact, in Pune also, there is one very big exhibition center going to come, which is three times larger than the, you know, Nesco. There was a tender which was supposed to be, you know, bid, but because of the election, it got postponed. So we also have such kind of opportunities wherein our expertise of managing and operating venues will be needed by these venue owners to ensure that there's a smooth operation and the growth in their own operated venues.
So do we have any exclusive operating arrangement with any of the venue vendors?
So there are, as I said, there are only limited number of venues as of now. The number of venues are being acquired, the land is being acquired by the government, or the tenders are being decided to be floated. It is very nascent stage to state that we have any empanelment per se, but with our kind of, you know, skill set, the experience, the model that we operate on, and the manpower that we have, I'm sure that we'll add more such opportunities in coming future.
Okay. And our operating margins will remain the same around 20%, or do we see better operating margins, especially with the revenue business coming in?
Our operating margins are improving if you look at the numbers. Especially this first half, they've been much better than previous two halves. Last half was, of course, a dip. But even if you compare with H1 of last year, the margins have improved, the operating margins have improved. And going forward, we expect the margins to continue to improve before minority interest. They may remain same after considering the minority interest, because in an acquisition model, you will have some minority interest always, at least 24%. To answer your question, our operating margins will remain stable on our PAT after minority, interest basis, and before that, we expect them to continue to improve further.
You mentioned that the operating margins
are
improved.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir.
Okay, I'll come in with you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Vinay Nagori from Fintegrity Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Hi, Vinay Nagori here. Sir, my first question is, can you just tell me what is the structure of the JV, say for the Pune facility? Like, how much of the revenue comes to us, and how much revenue will go to the partner?
Yeah, so it's a 60-40 model wherein 60% of the gross revenue comes to Exicon and 40% goes to the landowner. And then the service revenue in its entirety comes to Exicon. When I say service revenue, after the venue is booked, you need to have the rest of the services for the organizer or the corporate, you know, depending upon the size of their event. That includes F&B, venue construction, event management, light, sound and video, registration, generators, and, you know, anything that is required to execute an event on ground. So that service revenue remains with Exicon. However, the rental part is 40-60, wherein 40% is with the landowners and 60% is with Exicon. So it's a very good one. So because what we are sharing is just the revenue from the rental income, not from the services, and the services brings a lot of other income to a table that also includes the entire event management at ground.
Okay, that sounds great, sir. And sir, just wanted to understand, now we say we've projected annual revenue of 40 to 50 crores from Pune venue. So the net, this is net of the amount we'll be giving to the partner, right?
Yeah, it is net to the Exicon, not to the
totally.
Revenue.
This will be that the total revenue Exicon will be booking. So now when we are saying FY25, if we say 50% growth, will be around 120 CR top line, 120, 125 CR. So 50%, 50%. Yes.
No, so there will be a shift from. So basically, what is happening is that we had a venue earlier, which was not directly under our control. And so the revenue that we were booking from the venue was lesser. Now the entire revenue will flow into our books. And this 40 to 50 crore is not incremental revenue, as you may think, which will simply add to the revenue, but a part of it. And the margins will improve dramatically from here. More than revenue, it will be the margin push, which will be very important for us. Because in an earlier model, all the revenues are not coming to our books. And now the revenues that will come to our books will be much higher. So to answer your question, not the entire 40 to 50 crores will go into the books. A part of it has already been accounted. So, but then it's a different venue with a different terms and much better margins than previous venue. And we have complete control over this venue compared to the previous venue, which was a part of a bigger picture because it was owned, it was a part of a, what do you say, you must be knowing about the Magarpatta tract. So yes, we had much lesser control over there, and this is totally under our control with much better margins and much lesser sharing in terms of JV, although it's 60-40 on paper, but then as you said, it is only on the rentals, and it is the services which will bring us much more revenue than the rentals. So effective profit sharing will be, revenue sharing and profit sharing will be much lesser.
Super. So can I get a timeline of when can we expect Ayodhya and Mumbai, this thing, convention centers live, like, and since Ayodhya, we already own the Ayodhya, the margin should be better over there, right?
Yes, Ayodhya will have a different dynamics because it's a smaller city than Mumbai or Pune and lesser spending capacity. But at the same time, the costs will be lesser and hence the margins would be probably as much in line with the other two venues. And it will be complete ownership for us.
Any timeline if you can mention? So approximate.
Next financial year, as of now, I can't put a exact timeline on that, but I think somewhere in second half of FY26, a year.
Okay, so
from, yeah.
So by in FY27, we can expect
more. Yes, definitely.
In FY27, we can expect all three revenues to contribute.
Yes. These three will be the venues which will be exclusively run by us, and we are looking for getting into other revenue, to manage other venues, where, you know, in next 2 years we look for at least 2 to 3 venues across the country where we'll be totally managing the venue. We will not be owning the venue. The venue will be built by someone else, and we'll be doing the management contract with them.
Super. And sir, one last question. One last question. If I can slip in one question, is it fine?
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So, just wanted to understand, we've got multiple companies, we've acquired quite a few companies, they are pretty small, but just wanted to understand, if possible in the next presentation, if you can get an idea of how much revenue we are doing in each of the companies and our projections over the next 2 to 3 years for that.
So we have given a projection on a consolidated basis, and if you want to get into the details, just give me a second. Just to confirm your question, you want a breakup of the growth?
Yes, how much revenue we are doing in these companies, and what is the potential size of each of the companies, like how each of the company can become.
Okay. This is just one minute. Let me just look at the projection that we have made. Yeah, so for the next 2 years, let me just calculate the percentage, that will come. Can we take the next question while we come back to this question? I'll just fetch the numbers in a minute. Yeah?
Yes, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question comes from Vaibhav Lohia from Commercial Fridge Movers. Please go ahead.
Mr. I, good evening. So I have 3 questions. So the first question is, firstly, is the growth of 50%, is it in total, or are we talking about year-on-year basis, like 50% growth from 2024 to...
Year-on-year basis.
Okay, so thank you. And the second question is, sir, is our business so H1 heavy or H2 heavy?
So, well,
if you look at the event management business, it is H2 heavy. But since we have the inorganic growth as well as we have good, baseline in terms of the services that we provide, so for us it is not that equal, but H1 is a bit lower and H2 goes higher. But we have been able to maintain 50% growth in the H1 itself, while the entire industry is struggling for the being on the lower side in H1.
Okay, right. And so the third question is, what type of PAT margins will be looking ahead for FY25 and 26?
PAT margins will be upward of 15%. We have been improving on that. And I'm talking about PAT margin before minority interest. They've been going up. So upward of 15% is what we are clear on.
Okay, sir. Right. That's great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Pankaj Shah from AK Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So our event infra and execution services together account for, I guess, 90% of standalone. And how Execon plan to diversify its revenue based on this current execution?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
As if now we are into event infra and execution services majorly, right, sir? Hello.
Yeah. Revenue breakup by service category. Yeah. So, what's the question?
So, what my question was: our event infra and execution services, which together accounts for around 90% for standalone revenue, right?
Yes.
So, how we plan to diversify it, and what are the other segments we are focusing for now? Like, which are the most valuable segments for now, and we are looking forward?
No. So, for the standalone company, the Execon Events Media Solutions Limited, the standalone company, we are very clear that it's a venue and venue services company. It doesn't do anything else, right?
Okay.
So all our revenue will continue. So if it is 90, maybe after 2 years, it will be 80-85%. But primarily our revenue will come from venue services. And all the services that we provide to the exhibitors and the exhibition organizers, exhibition organizers in the venue. So I think we are very clear about the business of the main company. And similarly, DigiGlobe is exhibitor oriented, and it provides services to the exhibitors who participate with the exhibition organizer in the exhibitions, like stall design, fabrication, digital marketing, marketing collateral, marcom, etc. So I think we are very clear about what business goes in which company, and we ensure that there's a minimum overlap. Even in an event which is an integrated event, like for example, if you're executing a full event, then all the services are provided by the respective companies, to ensure that there's a clear focus of what, which company is providing what kind of service. So in Execon, the revenues will be driven by venue and the services which will be provided in the venue, which is, we have categorized it as end-to-end event management services and event infra and ground execution services. So we see 80-90% of our business coming from these two categories in next several years in Execon main company. And the subsidiaries will keep on adding to whatever is the missing link. And that's how we are making acquisitions. We are making acquisitions to fill the gaps where we feel that we need to be more strong or where we may not be present at this point of time. And that's how we continue to remain a 360 degree company. And at the same time, we keep the individual company focused on what they do.
Okay, sir. As you suggested, okay, got it. And about our EBITDA margin, is pretty much strong around 23%. And we have projected an improvement margin by 5.5%, right? So
that's
by when and...
That's the scope where, you know, we can improve and at least sustain our margins, because, you know, margins is something, it's like climbing a pole. And while revenues, we are growing and revenue growth is good, but then keeping the margins intact is something very important. And this is our plan for improving and keeping our margins together. So it's not that we are saying that our margins, operating margins will go up by 5%, but we have a plan to ensure that we move up from 23 and not down from 23.
So any specific initiatives we are taking to improve this margin for now, sir?
Yeah, that's what we have enlisted in the presentation, in the margin improvement roadmap sheet.
Okay. And by when this will be achievable, this 5.5% improving margin? Any specific timeline?
Again, I repeat that don't take it as margins going up from 23 to 28. This is a plan to increase our margins from 23 and keep them intact at 23. So 23, 24, 25, whatever it goes up. So these are the various initiatives that we take to, you know, maintain our leadership position. We are growing in terms of revenue, no doubt. We have a plan, and we need to keep our margins also intact, operating margins, EBITDA margins, and obviously improve them. So this is a plan for doing that. So this is a continuous basis. For the next 2 years, it will be implemented.
Okay, so okay. Just last question. So how does Ezikon differentiate itself from competitors, like in MIT space? Since I believe it's a very competitive and organized sector, and we are almost a 350 crore market cap, only listed company, I guess, right?
Well, yeah. So we have mentioned about it earlier also that we don't see any competition in the industry. The market cap could be more or less higher or lower is something which we don't have a control of. But as far as our series of, and the sequence of the services are concerned, there are no such player as of now in the country to provide a 360-degree solution to an exhibition or event. And moving forward, we are also integrating the exhibitor services into it, which is much more, you know, larger and harder to actually execute. So our vision is very clear. We want to always remain ahead of the competition. We want to always provide the end-to-end services, and we want to have the maximum revenues from an exhibition organizer through the entire range of services that he may require, and that includes and is not limited to the venue construction, the event management, the technicals, you know, the housekeeping, the security, the F&B, catering, everything that comes under that particular event as a service is what we are eyeing to have in-house, and we have already added a lot of them in-house already.
Okay, pretty justifiable. That's it from my end. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Sahil Raj from SAM Investments. Please go ahead. I repeat, next question comes from Sahil Raj from SAM Investments. Please go ahead.
I think he's lost the connection. You can take up the next question.
Sure.
Or we'll have this answer of the previous question which was asked while...
Yes, sir, please go ahead, sir.
No, I'm asking if there is any more question by anyone.
Yes, sir. We have one more question, sir.
Yeah, because I think the time is already over. It's already 1 hour, which we decided to, but we can take the questions up.
Yes, sir, sure. Follow-up question from Deepesh Anshetty from Mania Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Okay.
Now, I was just going through your shareholding. Do you think that we will be diluting our holding more for raising capital or any other way?
So, we don't see any further dilution from here in the equity, except for if we make any other acquisition and whatever dilution happens there. But then that dilution should be very less. And as of now, we have not planned any further dilution and acquisition both. So our last acquisition, which will add on a full year basis 10% to our revenue, had diluted our equity by, I think, less than 1.5%. So as of now, the answer is that we don't see that happening. But still, I mean, for the next 2 years?
For the next 2 years, you don't see any major dilution coming in?
Yeah.
Okay. And do the promoters wish to increase their stake into the company since the prices have become more reasonable, and also that you see so much growth happening with a fantastic ROE?
Yes, we have some outstanding warrants from the promoters at a price which is much higher than market price. We have outstanding warrants at 292 rupees as well as at 400 rupees. So that will increase our stake.
Okay. That's great. Fine. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That would be the last question for the day. Now I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
Sushilji, can I request you to come on and come online and give this concluding remarks if there is no question left to be answered?
Sure. Good evening to all the investors and the management team. As you have seen that the management is very clear and we have very clear our strategy and objective which is in place. We are not diverging, taking any shortcuts or neither taking any approach which will have short-term benefits, but we always aspire for the long-term benefit. We would like to continue to be the market leaders as far as the services is concerned. And as a couple of times it has been repeated and it has been mentioned, our focus will continue to be on one side to the exhibition organizer services, and on the other side, the exhibitor, the participants in the events services, which will enhance the value to the event and exhibition and the MICE industry. Yes, as rightly said by the chairman, we would be looking for a very good opportunities as far as the venue is concerned, since what we have realized over the last 20 years, maybe 20 years plus, that out of the 60 to 65% of the cost to the organizer, the exhibition organizer, about 20% goes towards the venue, and the balance 40-45% goes towards the services. So we want to position ourselves very strongly and powerfully as far as the venue is concerned, and organically growing in our services also to the organizer and exhibitors. This is how we plan for a very balanced and thoughtful and mindful approach towards the steady but stable growth for the ExecOp, which will, I'm sure, which bring a lot of value, and market caps will definitely increase, and the investors will benefit in the long term. So my bet would be to stay invested and enjoy the benefits. Thank you very much.
I think thank you very much, Sushil Shahji. He was Mr. Sushil Shah, the CFO of ExecOp Image Solutions Limited. I'll pass on the mic to Mr. Nitin Minocha once again. There was one question which was left over and was supposed to be answered by us. We'd like to answer that question before we end up this conference call. Over to Mr. Nitin Minocha.
Yeah, can I take up that question again? What was the question? Was it in terms of the revenue breakup for the next 2 years?
Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible, sir.
Yeah, so FY25 and FY26, if I may look at the existing companies, which is the standalone company and the two subsidiaries which have been running for the last 3 years, for the last 4 years, they'll be contributing 75% to the revenue in FY25 and around 66% in FY26. And the new acquisitions, which are Maple Height is also 1.5 year old now, United Heli Charters, Green Branch Contracting, and Perfect Octave will be contributing to the remaining, 35% in FY26. So in FY26, it will be a split of 65-35, 35% coming from the new subsidiaries, and 65% coming from the existing business, which have been running for more than 1 year and 3 years old, and the main company. Yeah, does that answer the question or anything else? Hello?
So actually, that participant is not available on the call, sir.
Okay, no issues. You can connect directly if there's any other question from his side. Yeah.
Okay, sir, sure.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a good day.